Today is Friday, the 19th of January, 2018, and you've just turned on the Geeky Gay Podcast. My name is Adam, and I'm your host. And my apologies that I'm a day late and a dollar short on this one, but I recorded an entire 25-minute episode yesterday, which was normally the day that I release when I'm on a regular schedule on Thursdays, and I don't know what happened. I went to edit it last night and the file was gone. So I don't know what happened. If you're hearing this, it means that this time I was successful. So that's a good thing. And I was describing yesterday that for those of you who are new, I am a guy who's in my, I'm 30 years old. And, I'm barreling towards midlife, and I'm a geek of sorts. You know, I'm really into technology, and, you know, I like fantasy and sci-fi and stuff like that. I wouldn't say that I'm overboard, you know, and I don't even want to define what overboard is, but I do consider myself to be someone that's, you know, into those types of things. And if you can't tell from my accent, I'm also a Southern guy. I live in the state of Arkansas, which is where I was born. I have lived other places, and I described on the podcast yesterday that when, there have been times in my life when I've thought, oh, my Southern accent is not too bad. And I've even had people, normally there are other people from the South, or, you know, that live in the South and have really strong Southern accents, say, you don't have a strong accent at all. But then when I talk to my friends that are, you know, in New York and California and other places that are not in the South, they say, oh my gosh, Adam, you have a strong accent. But the reason I say that is, I guess, because when I was growing up, my mom married my stepdad when I was 14, and he's from Washington State. And so, he doesn't have a Southern accent at all. And the first part of my kind of getting rid of my Southern accent, because for a while I was really concerned that I needed to do something to get rid of it because I thought I would sound stupid if I had a Southern accent, which some people may think that's true, some people may not, but, you know, it is what it is. And so I felt like his accent rubbed off on me quite a bit. And now I find myself trying to speak without a Southern accent. But anyway, and so then when I was a senior in college, I did a study abroad in England. And I lived in England for a year, about 13 months actually total. And so, you know, during that time, I didn't pick up a British accent, but I did. They have some, I don't know how to describe it. They have some tonalities, some ways that there's a word for it, and I'm missing it. But how you raise or lower your pitch in a sentence is very much, you know, is also part of speech. And you know, in England, like for instance, if they say "Are you all right?", they would say "Are you all right?", and it's a very slight difference. But you hear kind of the pitch raising at the end of the sentence, and it. And so when I came back from England, and plus my two boyfriends, well, not at the same time, but two of my boyfriends throughout my life were British or are British, and it was, you know, British back to back. So also being around them all the time and, you know, talking to them, etc. So when I came back, my mom and several other people, I remember them saying, your way of speaking has changed, you know. And not necessarily that I had a British accent, because I've never had a British accent, but that my Southern accent got a little weaker, and that my, again, without a better term for it, my tonality, had changed as well. Like what I emphasized and how my pitch raised and lowered when I was speaking. So anyway, now though, as soon as I got back from England, I moved to Texas, and then I was in Texas for 8 years, and then I moved to North Arkansas, which I was born and raised in South Arkansas, but North Arkansas is a special kind of Southern accent. It's the hillbilly accent. So the people who have Southern accents around here have really strong, like, Beverly Hillbillies, you know, Southern, you know, granny or something on Beverly Hillbillies. So I'm sure some of that has rubbed off on me. And actually, Mark says, we were at my parents' house for dinner last night, and Mark says that I really start sounding more Southern when I'm talking to my mom. So I guess, you know, when I'm talking to my mom, it's, I slip back into that really strong Southern accent. But I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to give a little bit of a job update. And I know you guys are thrilled with all of the job updates. I know you're just so happy that I'm giving you these job updates. But I wanted to, first of all, read a couple of things that I got in the way of contact relating to the job. So, and I really want to thank you guys. I just want to say, you know, it really feels good to have contact because, you know, this being a personal journal show, I don't have a co-host. I don't have, you know, it's really good to hear from other people, get their opinions on stuff. I'm used to, on Dubious Intent, you know, bouncing ideas off of Daniel or whoever my co-host was at the time. And it's really good to have co-hosts, or actually contact. It's good to have co-hosts too, but it's good to have contact so that I feel like I have, you know, someone that I'm bouncing my ideas off of, etc. But anyway, the first one was a Facebook message, and it came from Eric. And I won't read his last name because I don't know if he wants his last name read, but he basically says, "Hey Adam, I just listened to your latest show. I work in HR as a recruiter. It's odd that in IT they require a degree. In federal service, even grade 15S, which is the top of the scale, don't require degrees. Can you contact the recruiter or someone in HR and request a copy of the official position description? That would show what or equivalent means and can better prepare you for an interview. Generally, the position description are not private or classified in public and private industry." So, thank you for the message, Eric. So I'm gonna actually speak to that, but I wanted to go ahead and get through the, and I did, you know, I don't know. One thing I will say is I know you mentioned this official or the position description or whatever, but is that not the same thing that they put in the job posting? I'm not really sure. I thought that those would be one and the same, but I don't know. Because I have looked at the actual listing that says, here's what the requirements are, and here's what your job duties would be, etc. And that's where it said the minimum requirement was a computer science degree. You know, funny, I know you say you're not used to jobs requiring a degree, but, you know, and I don't have a lot of experience. I've never been in HR, and this is only my second. Since I've been out of college, this is, you know, Walmart is only the second company that I've worked for. So I really haven't gone through a lot of, you know, different companies and how they, what their expectations are of specific roles. And then I'm going to jump over to Twitter. And in Twitter, I'm looking because I had a few unrelated. Got a message from Matt, and he said, I've only ever gotten, oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. Baron Frosty said he's only ever gotten ahead by connecting with the right people and pushing for change, so rock on. So thank you, Baron. You know, in this situation, it's really hard to know if I'm connecting with the right people. Because there are three separate teams who are basically have the same, you know, mission, goal, you know, what they want to achieve. And I feel like in some ways it's like a pissing contest between higher ups to see, you know, which team is going to win. Rather than them trying to collaborate and, you know, work together, I feel like there's a lot of contention and, you know, more of a competition than there is trying to work together. So, and I don't know who's going to win. I mean, I feel like the team that I'm currently on has the least chances, but I don't even want to be in a situation where I have to win. I want us to all work together, but apparently that's not the way it works. So Matt says, being proactive at work is awesome. I hope it leads to awesomeness. Catching up on the show today. Well, thank you, Matt. I hope it leads to awesomeness too. And then Alex says, don't sweat it. I've been hired, even in university settings, where what degree you earned matters most with equivalent. Your experience outweighs some undergrad's piece of paper. You have a degree, enough said. The recruiter is just checking boxes. So I'll give you guys an update. Now that I've read the contact, and thank you, Alex, for your contact. All of you who are listening, feel free to contact me. I love it. And I try to read it, even if it's in Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is, I try to read it on the show. If I ever miss reading something or playing something that you've sent me, please let me know. And by the way, Scotty, I did get your voicemail and I am going to play that, but the car recordings is kind of difficult for me to play sounds. And so, you know, now I have done it. When I first started recording in the car, I actually, because my recorder does have multiple inputs on it, it's one of those Zoom H4Ns. For those of you who podcast, you probably are aware of that. And I was able to hook my phone or my iPad in and, you know, and play the theme music. But it didn't give me a lot of ability to fade in and out and all that kind of stuff because there's not a mixer. So I had to cut it off abruptly. And also, this is too in the weeds probably, but when I hook headphones up to this recorder to hear what's going on, each input is right or left. So like when I'm playing the theme music is playing in my left ear and my voice is in my right ear, which kind of bugs me. I like them both to be in both ears. And in a mixer, I can do that. You know, I don't have to pan right or left. I hear the whole thing in both ears. And there are other things, you know, the headphones I wear normally day to day are not studio headphones. So when I play theme music or something loud, it tends to bleed over into the other tracks. And then when I'm trying to edit, I've got bleed over. So if I need to cut some audio or something, it's still left in the other track where I'm talking, which makes it really hard to get rid of. Anyway, all that to say, I decided to stop doing the audio. Plus, I'm driving. I shouldn't be trying to record, you know. I'm holding, the only thing that I'm doing when I'm recording is holding the recorder down at my waist. And I'm looking at the road and I'm not looking at the recorder or anything like that. If I add extra bits and pieces like a tablet that I have to be hitting buttons, you know, hitting the button to play the music and all that, it makes it more dangerous for me as well. So all that said, the next episode that I record in the studio, I'm going to play that. And hopefully I'll record one this weekend. And the one that comes out on Tuesday will have that voice recording. All right. So anyway, so the job update is this. I talked to my parents the night that I found out that, you know, it required a computer science degree. And I talked to Mark and I slept on it. And basically, I just came to the decision that even if it doesn't matter, like even if they're like, oh, don't worry, that's just to weed out people, you know, external. But since you're internal and you've got all this experience, no big deal. Even if that's the case, I felt like not letting them know, you know, what type of degree I've got was lying by omission, because I know that they listed it as a requirement. And I've possibly misled the recruiter by saying I do have a degree, because he probably assumed that I knew that it was a computer science degree that he was talking about. So even though it was unintentional, I may have misled him by saying that, you know, that I have a degree, and he thought I was saying I have a computer science degree. And you know, I always want to show integrity. I don't want to lie to bosses. I don't want to, you know, I just don't want to get in that situation where people see me as a dishonest person. And I just want to be an honest person just because I think that's, you know, that's the way things should be. So I decided that I was going to let them know. Now, I decided that, you know, because it's going to be the manager who makes the hiring decision and not the recruiter. The recruiter, as Alex said, is just checking off boxes, that I was going to send an email to the manager and, you know, just let him know. Just let him know. So when I got into work the next morning, because I didn't have my work computer with me and I hate typing emails on my phone. And so when I got in the next morning, the first thing I did, I opened up my email program and I, you know, and I start typing an email to, you know, the hiring manager. And I say, hey, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, I up until yesterday, I had not read the job description for the job that, you know, that you had available. And when I read it, you know, I said I had had a discussion with the recruiter on Monday and he had asked me if I have a degree. And I told him, yes, I said, because I do have a bachelor's degree. I said, but when I read the job description, I noticed that it said that it was a minimum requirement of a bachelor's in computer science or equivalent. And although I do have a bachelor's degree, I do not have a bachelor's degree in computer science. I have a bachelor of arts, and I do have a minor in computer science, and I have about 20 hours of computer science classes, and I also did an internship for Yahoo UK when I lived in London. And so, and I said, you know, and I said, I know that I'm qualified for this position. I've had 15 years of experience in test automation. I have worked for Walmart for 7 years, and I have relationships that are going to be very valuable to you as you try to achieve the initiatives that you're trying to achieve. And I said, you know, I'm very passionate. I said, when you and I talked, we were on the same page as far as where we wanted test automation and performance testing and just testing in general to go. And I'm very passionate about that. And I've been wanting a way to make that happen within the entire organization. And I know that being on your team would be what's needed for me to be a part of making that happen. Anyway, so I said, you know, I hope it doesn't hurt my chances of getting the job. I'm really looking forward to working with you, et cetera, et cetera. So they're 2 hours behind us. He's in California. So about 2 hours later, 2.5 hours later, I got an email back from him. And he said, Adam, he said, thank you for letting me know. You know, he said, I appreciate you being honest and the integrity and all of that. He said, but you know, although a degree is important and it's something that we put on the minimum qualifications on the posting, he said, I'm not going to consider that when I'm considering you for this position. He said, you don't have to worry about that at all. He said, you know, a degree is important to teach you some things, but he said, I consider experience and passion to be much more important than the degree. And he said, you have the relationships, you have the experience, you have the passion. He said, and you can't teach passion. So he said, I don't want you to worry about that at all. Don't worry. And so that was it. So I, you know, I really, I haven't heard back from the recruiter yet. And it hasn't been a week yet, but I spoke to the recruiter on Monday and it's now Friday. So I still don't know what the next steps are going to be, and I'm kind of going to wait. I don't know. I'm at least going to wait till Monday of next week to reach back out and say, hey, just wanted to know what the next steps are. Is there going to be an interview or, you know, or what are we doing here? But so I don't know about that, but I do know that the manager still seems to be interested in me and doesn't care about, you know, what type of degree I have. So that's really good news. Other than that, so I know I've been, again, once this job stuff is over, you guys will stop hearing so much about my job situation. But the other thing I've been doing is getting ready for this trip. You know, I'm going to London and the Philippines, and Mark has already planned all of the resorts and all of the hotels and everything in the Philippines, but I have to figure out where I'm going to stay in London and New York. But I mean, New York's like one night. I get to New York, I have a night there, and then I fly out the next day to go to London. So it's not a long stay, but so I can just pick any hotel. For London, I'm there about 6 days, 5 or 6 days, and I want to see Paul the Shy Yeti. I want to see my ex, Nathan. I want to see a couple of other people. So, you know, I'm gonna be there a lot of the time, but I also need to decide, you know, am I going to make any side trips, any day trips? You know, the thing about England is they have a really good train system. And so one of my thoughts is, you know, do I want to take the train to some more places? Do I want to, you know, go back to Brighton for a day? Brighton is on the coast, so there's a beach and everything. Although in March it won't be warm enough, but still, I mean, it'd be nice to visit there because I lived there for 7 months. Do I want to go anywhere else, you know, on a train? How many days do I want to be in London? The whole time, or do I want to split it up? Then there's this archaeological site. And for the life of me, I can't remember exactly what it was, but Baron Frosty posted on Twitter that there was some archaeological site that was completely excavated and in really good condition. I can't remember what it was. I wish I could, but he wanted to see that next time he was in London. And I told him, oh, I'm going to be in London in March. I'll go and let you know how it is. So, you know, I kind of want to do that. So the question about accommodation is, A, am I going to plan any other side trips? So how many days am I actually going to be in London? And then B, I've been thinking about doing Airbnb, because a lot of these YouTubers that we watch, that Mark and I watch, who play Pokemon Go, when they travel, they do Airbnbs. Now, maybe they do that because most of the time they're with a bunch of other people, and so they need the space. But I've been thinking, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have my own, like, apartment, or as they say in England, my own flat for the, you know, 5 or 6 days that I'm there. And when I looked up prices, there were some fairly nice ones that, you know, were reasonably priced. I mean, considering that most of the time when we go on vacation, we book, you know, hotels that are on the nicer side, you know, I felt like the Airbnbs were, you know, priced very similar to what I would have expected to pay for a nice hotel anyway. And it gives you the space. You have a living room, you have a kitchen, you have, you know, all of that. Sometimes you have parking included, depending on the building. And, you know, with the hotel, you just have basically a bedroom and a bathroom. Unless you get a suite, which is a lot more expensive, and etc. But hotels have swimming pools and gyms and hot tubs and spas and all that. Whereas most of the time, Airbnbs don't. You know, so I'm still struggling on what I want to do there. So if you live in England, Paul, or Nathan, I don't know if you listen, but, you know, anyone, or you have any ideas of actual location, like areas. When I lived in London, I lived in the Kensington and Chelsea area. My tube stop was Gloucester Road Station. But, you know, I know there are a lot of other areas that would be nice to stay in. There's Soho, I think. Is it Soho? I may be completely wrong about that. That may be Hollywood. Anyway, there are other areas of London that may be nice to stay in. So if you guys have any suggestions and of a particular part of London, any trips that you think would be good for me to do, you know, day trips, that sort of thing, and whether to do Airbnb or hotel, please contact me. Other than that, the only other thing I wanted to talk about is Pride 48. I've been working a lot at night on getting Pride 48 ready to go. And, well, when I say ready to go, I mean there are a bunch of changes technically that we wanted to make. And the first one was, you know, we have had some issues with the stream in the past whenever we would do the long weekends, you know, the 48-hour weekends. we would have sometimes when streams would accidentally stay on and it would block the stream for the next show. And we've had a lot of features that aren't included in the current service. And so I have built, using an open source radio broadcast tool that's an online interface, I've built a new streaming server that we are going to start using. And we've actually switched over to that as of, I don't remember exactly the day I switched. It was either Monday or Tuesday. And I was waiting on TuneIn, because with TuneIn, you give them your streaming URL, and it takes a few days for them to change that. And so we sent an email to TuneIn, and we also changed the streaming URL. So now if you go to pride48.com and you click on the player there, or you go to TuneIn, you're going to get the new stream. And so now the next thing I'm going to do is work with the actual hosts that do live shows to get them switched over to actually broadcasting from the new stream. Because right now what I'm doing is they're still connecting to the old stream when they do their live shows, and then I'm rebroadcasting that on the new one. And so the last step of getting everyone switched over is to get them connecting to the actual new stream. But it's going to give us a bunch of features. Anyone who streams will be able to go in and edit their show. They can edit the title of the show. They can actually, if they're not going to be able to record, or I'm sorry, if they're not going to be able to do a live show, they can actually go in and schedule something pre-recorded to play instead of their live show. And there are many, many other things we can do. We can add bumpers, and we can add, not commercials, but I mean, we can add announcements for like Pride 48 events and all of that kind of stuff. We also will be playing all of our member podcasts when there's not something live streaming. We will be playing the most recent episode of all the podcasts on our station. And there's a nice schedule window for that. And so it's going to give us a lot of features. I'm really excited about it. And then, of course, we're excited about the August event. And I'm actually going to be working with Dave in Phoenix, or Phoenix Dave. And he has hopefully volunteered. I haven't sent him an email responding yet, to put together a promo video, a teaser video for the August event, using some of the footage from interviews and from the podcast themselves from the last Vegas event that we did. And then I'm hoping he can mix that with some stock footage of New Orleans, and, you know, just a 3 to 5 minute video that really builds excitement for the event, that we can put on our YouTube page, that we can put on our Facebook page, you know, that we can get people to watch and get them excited about the event. And then the last thing, when I'm done with the stream changes, we also want to move our current website, is a really good job building this website that Daniel did, but it's still not to the point where people can easily, who aren't technical, go in and add things and update things on the website. Anytime you need to go in and add or update something, you have to basically be a developer and know how to code to do that. So Turniphead is on the suits, and he's part of kind of the technical committee. We've decided we want to switch to WordPress. And since so many of the podcasters use WordPress, we can have more people volunteer to update the website once we get switched over. So the next thing I'll be working on is, after I'm done with the stream stuff, is getting a template built. And I don't know if I'm going to do that myself, or if I'm going to work with, you know, with Turniphead, or I don't know who's going to do it. But the next thing we will be working on is building a template so that we can figure out how to get everything switched over to WordPress instead of this custom coded solution. And so I'm really excited about all the things that are coming up in Pride 48. And looking forward to a really good year with that as well. So I'm going to go ahead and end it here for today. Sorry this is a day late and a dollar short. I hope this actually saves. So for more episodes of the show, you can go to geekygay.com. To contact me, you can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can also call me, 229-234-7587. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBT shows over at pride48.com. And I will see you guys next week. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.